I hope you find the message today to be spiritually uplifting and to fill you throughout the week. May God bless you as you listen to His Word.
The hand of the Lord was upon me, and He brought me out by the Spirit of the Lord and set me down in the midst of the valley. It was full of bones. And He led me around among them, and behold, there were very many upon the valley, and lo, they were very dry. And He said to me, Son of man, can these bones live? And I answered, O Lord God, thou knowest. Again He said to me, Prophesy to these bones, and say to them, O dry bones, hear the word of the Lord. Thus says the Lord God to these bones, Behold, I will cause breath to enter you, and you shall live. And I will lay sinews upon you, and will cause flesh to come upon you, and cover you with skin, and put breath in you, and you shall live, and you shall know that I am the Lord. So I prophesied as I was commanded, and as I prophesied, there was a noise. And behold, a rattling into the bones came together, bone to its bone. And as I looked, there were sinews on them, and flesh had come upon them, and skin had covered them, but there was no breath in them. Then He said to me, Prophesy to the breath, prophesy, Son of man, and say to the breath, Thus says the Lord, Come from the four winds, O breathe, and breathe upon these slain, that they may live. So I prophesied, and as He commanded me, and the breath came into them, and they lived and stood upon their feet, an exceedingly great host. Then He said to me, Son of man, these bones are the whole house of Israel. Behold, they say, Our bones are dried up, and our hope is lost. We are clean cut off. Therefore prophesy and say to them, Thus says the Lord God, Behold, I will open your graves and raise you from your graves, O my people, and I will bring you home into the land of Israel. And you shall know that I am the Lord when I open your graves and raise you from your graves, O my people. And I will put my spirit within you, and you shall live, and I will place you in your own land. Then you shall know that I, the Lord, have spoken, and I have done it, says the Lord. May the Lord add blessings to the reading of this word.
Thank you, Donna. It's a very powerful scripture, and it certainly raises a lot of questions. Questions that I think I will share with you right at this moment. At this very moment, do you feel alive? Now, I don't mean just living, okay? That's a different thing, but alive. Like you are excited about life. Like you're excited about God. Like you're excited about the endless opportunities that God has put before you. Are you alive? Not just living. Ezekiel was told to prophesy to the bones and say, Breath will enter them, and they shall have life. What is breath? Well, according to the dictionary, it is life. It is vitality. Synonyms, spirit, animation, vigor, force. Notice God isn't saying you will be living. He's not talking about you're just going to exist. He says you will have my spirit, vigor, force, vitality in you. You will have life. But do you? Do you wake up every morning and say, today's a new day, I got so much to do, and I'm excited about life? In one little Midwestern town, Miss Jones had the distinction of being the oldest resident in town. So when she died, the editor of the local paper wanted to print a little article remembering the dear old lady, except he couldn't think of anything to say when he sat down to write the article. Miss Jones had never done anything terribly wrong. She had never spent a night in jail or had ever been drunk. On the other hand, she had never done anything significant. With this still on his mind, the editor went down to the local cafe and there ran into the local funeral director. He too was having the same trouble. He wanted to put something on Miss Jones's tombstone besides Miss Nancy Jones, born such and such a date and died such and such a date. But he couldn't think of anything to write either. The editor decided to go back to his office and assign the job of writing up a small article for both the paper and the tombstone to the first reporter he saw. When he got to the office, he ran into the sports editor, who got the assignment. So somewhere in some little community in the Midwest, there is a tombstone which reads, "Here lie the bones of Nancy Jones, for her life held no terrors. She lived an old maid, she died an old maid. No hits, no runs, no errors." That's the way many Christians live their lives. They've never done anything terribly wrong, but they've never accomplished anything significant for the Lord. They live, but they never had life. Now, have you ever heard of being in a rut? So many of us have been. Day after day, we drive to work, we go to work, we drive home, we cook dinner, we watch TV, go to bed, get up, and do it all again with the same lack of enthusiasm, the same expectations, the same old. But wait, the weekend comes. But we have a routine for that too. A little different, but it's just a slight change until we can get back to what we do best, which is the following work week routine. God gave us life. You hear this story, and God is saying, "I'm giving these dry bones life." Jesus talks about the same thing, because remember, he talks about the Pharisees being dried up. They have dry lives. They're not open to new ways of learning, new ways of being, new ways of doing. They're dried up. He did not give us a routine. God didn't give us a routine. We developed that. God breathed life into us. Vigor, force, spirit. That's what he breathed into us. Today is Pentecost. What do you know about Pentecost? Let's see, is that when the Holy Spirit descended upon the disciples and they started a routine? No. Did God's Spirit descend upon them and they fell asleep? No. What then? From Acts, 2nd chapter, verses 1 through 4. "When the day of Pentecost came, they were all together in one place. Suddenly, a sound like the blowing of a violent wind came from heaven and filled the whole house where they were sitting. They saw what seemed to be tongues of fire that separated and came to rest on each of them. All of them were filled with the Holy Spirit, and began to speak in other tongues as the Spirit enabled them." Luke, who wrote the book of Acts, describes God's Spirit as the blowing of a violent wind coming from heaven. Yet in Ezekiel, we read the description as, "So I prophesied as I was commanded. And as I prophesied, there was a noise, and behold, a rattling. And the bones came together, bone to its bone. And as I looked, there were sinews on them. And flesh had come upon them, and skin had covered them. But there was no breath in them. Then he said to me, 'Prophesy to the breath.' But there was no breath in them. 'Prophesy, son of man, and say to the breath, Thus says the Lord God, Come from the four winds, O breath, and breathe upon these slain, that they may have life.' So I prophesied as he commanded me, and the breath came into them, and they lived, and stood upon their feet, an exceedingly great host. When the Spirit entered them, they began moving and doing and becoming. They were no longer dry bones. But the spirit, the vigor, the force entered them. Well, whether it's a violent wind or the four winds, it's all about understanding God, isn't it? What God expects of us and what God requires of us. One thing you can't get around is when you read this scripture, God doesn't do this. God doesn't say, here, and they're all alive. He uses Ezekiel. He says, you prophesy. You prophesy to the breath. You talk to the dry bones. God uses us, fills us with His Spirit, and has us do the action. He just gives the word. I'm giving you the word, He says. You do it. That's how God works. I heard a story of a little girl who walked to and from school daily. The weather one morning was questionable and clouds were forming, yet she made her daily trek to the elementary school. As the afternoon progressed, the winds whipped up along with thunder and lightning. The mother of the little girl felt concerned that her daughter would be frightened when she walked home from school, and she feared the electrical storm might harm her child. Following the roar of thunder, lightning, like a flaming sword, would cut through the sky. Full of concern, the mother quickly got in her car and drove along the route the girl took from school to home. As she did so, she saw her little girl walking along, but at each flash of lightning, the child would stop, look up, and smile. Another and another were to follow quickly, and with each, the little girl would look at the streak of lightning and smile. When the mother's car drew up beside the child, she lowered the window and called to her, "What are you doing? What are you doing? Why do you keep stopping?" The child answered, "I'm trying to look pretty. God keeps taking my picture." It's all about understanding God. Children can see things about God that when we become adults, we lose sight of. We can spend our lives like a picture. For those of you who predate our little digital cameras in our phones and everything else, you have pictures probably of your childhood, of your parents and before, and you sit and you look at those pictures. They never change. They never change. The people in the picture are doing the same thing every time you look at them. No matter how you look at our lives, they are the same. But they don't have to be. We can take God's hand, let our dry bones live, and make a life for ourselves. A life full of animation, vigor, vitality, and full of spirit. A life with force. But so often we choose to get into a rut and do the same thing over and over, and the church says, "We need you. We need you to help with the ministry of Jesus Christ. We need you to help feed the poor. We need you to help make repairs. We need you." But so often we say, "But wait, I work. I'm going to go home and sit in my chair and watch TV because that's what I do." A man shares this. "One spring, our family was driving from Fort Lauderdale to Tampa, Florida. As far as the eye could see, orange trees were loaded with fruit. When we stopped for breakfast, I ordered orange juice with my eggs. 'I'm sorry,' the waitress said, 'I can't bring you orange juice. Our machine is broken.' At first, I was dumbfounded. We were surrounded by millions of oranges, and I knew they had oranges in the kitchen. After all, we had orange slices garnishing our plates. What was the problem? No juice? Hardly. We were surrounded by thousands of gallons of juice. The problem was they had become dependent on a machine to get it. We are sometimes like that. We may be surrounded by God's presence in our homes, at work, and in the community. But if we can't break from routine, we fall into the abyss known as a rut. Then we are spiritually dead. We become the very dry bones that we are reading about right here in Ezekiel. The problem is not a lack of spiritual food. It has never been the case, but that many Christians haven't grown enough to know how to make a life. They just live. They just live. So my prayer for you this day is as you go out these doors, you feel the wind. How many of you felt the wind when you were getting out today? I know when I did, I just felt like I was being blown away. But imagine that as God filling you with His Spirit, saying to you, this is me, and this is how I come to you. Like a violent wind from heaven, like the four winds of the earth, I am here always. The question is, are you? When you go outside these doors, remember the four winds. God comes to us from all sides. He offers us life, a new life in Jesus Christ, and we can choose to accept that new life or stick to our routine and be in that rut. The choice is ours. What will you choose today? Let us pray. Gracious God, oftentimes we come before you and we know we have done absolutely nothing to further your kingdom. Other times we have really tried hard and we found ourselves defeated, so we give up. May we never give up. Your Spirit is around us. You constantly fill us. May we take that spiritual food that you feed us and use it to do your work, to do your will, to help others, to love others, forgive others, and do all the things your Son taught us to do, for we ask this in His name. Amen. We're glad that you joined us today for this special message, and we pray that you will join us again next week as God's Word is brought to you.